Pastor Brandon, Brother Richard Halstead, for inviting me to be a part of this conference on disciples and making disciples. It's truly my joy to be with these men this weekend, looking at Jesus' instruction for us and to us in making disciples. So thank you, brothers. And I would echo Pastor BJ and what he just said earlier, that, brother, I'm thankful that they crossed through so many lines and names to get to you. Just receive this in humility and give it to the Lord. But that was perhaps one of the best Trinitarian baptismal sermons I've ever heard. And so thank you, brother, for teaching us in that way. It was way back in 1998 where Stephanie and I were living in Dallas, Texas, and we were just married, and I'd been a youth pastor at a specific church for almost 5 years at this time, and I was struggling to figure out how to do ministry effectively. That is when God sent this sweet older brother in Christ to our church who had discipled our singles pastor. And he did a conference on discipleship and disciple making. For almost a whole week, he took our staff and showed us from the scriptures how our lives should be bent toward making disciples, since it was Jesus' command to us to do this. From that moment on, for the next 3 or 4 years, I read book after book after book on how to make disciples and what to do and what not to do. I really engulfed myself into this new ministry, this newfound ministry of strategy in how to be more and most effective with God's Word in the lives of just at that time young people. I was blessed to learn and to understand that this is truly Jesus' master plan of reaching the world and seeking people to come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. I've spent the last almost 20 years doing my best to obey this command. I say all that to say this disciple-making ministry has become a joy for me in my life and in my ministry. I love to see godly men. I love to see godly women grow into disciple-makers themselves. And it's really sweet to reconnect with Chris Pence tonight. I discipled his discipler. And so Chris is a third generation disciple of mine. You feel that thunder and weight of that? I mean, it's just powerful, isn't it? I mean, you just can't help but just to be moved by it. Chris, I love you, brother, and I'm so glad to see your ministry continue on. Well, let's read our text together. Out of Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 20. Verse 18. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." Man, we now know what that means, don't we? "Teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Will you pray with me? Father, as we continue in this time of worship, in this time of seeking your word through your Son, God, we pray even now that you would continue to fill us with your Spirit. Give us the mind of Jesus so that we might be able to learn in a manner that is worthy of Christ, worthy of the gospel that has changed us, that has saved us, that we've received, that we hold fast to. God, please fill us right now in the name of your Son, Jesus, and help us to continue to worship you in spirit and truth, and even as you wash us in the ministry of your word. God, we pray for your help now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So my section this evening is in verse 20. And so if you look at verse 20 real quick in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus says, to his men, to his disciples, after they have received this command of baptism, to baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, this Trinitarian baptism, after they have done this with these disciples, they are to then do what? He says to them, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. Teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. When you are going into the world, when you are going into the nations, when you are going into these people's lives, and you are making disciples of Jesus out of them, and then you are seeing to it that they are baptized in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the other command of Jesus that he gives to his disciples under this umbrella of going and making disciples is to then teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. So what are the implications of this command? We've heard of the implications of what it means to baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But what are the implications of this command of teaching them to observe all the things that Jesus has commanded them? Well, one implication is that all disciples of Jesus are to eventually become teachers for Jesus. Now, there might be tomatoes thrown at me with that statement. The implications of obeying the commission is that all disciples of Jesus will eventually become teachers for Jesus. You are to become a teacher. You are to teach. Even the writer of Hebrews says this to the pitiful demonstration of the weak brethren that he writes to. When he says in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, "For though by this time you ought to be what? Teachers. You have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness. For he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil." So there comes a point in every disciple's life where they turn from simply only being taught to actually teaching others about Jesus, about the gospel, about the word of righteousness, about his commands. Usually at the end of every calendar year, I don't know if you've ever picked up on this, I picked up on this over the last several years. At the end of every calendar year, some of our well-known pastors and preachers in America, men like John Piper and D.A. Carson and Tim Keller, they get asked this question: what's the greatest problem facing the American church today? Have you ever heard these brothers be asked this question? They get asked it almost every year, at the end of every year. What's the greatest problem facing the American church? Well, after listening to Pastor BJ, I would have to say baptism might be the greatest problem facing the American church. But that's not in my notes, brother. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to go with what I got here. But perhaps we can talk about that Saturday night. Each year, that the answer that they give is actually usually quite insightful. And it's always something new for me to think and to consider. But if there is something biblical to consider, I think it has to be this command: to teach disciples to observe all that Jesus commanded. It has to be somewhere high up on this list of things and problems that are facing the American church today. First and foremost, pastors and shepherds and elders who are supposed to have the ability to teach are not teaching their people to observe all the things that Jesus has commanded. So if the elders and shepherds are not teaching them to observe the commands of Jesus, then what in the world are these infant disciples ever to become? Well, according to Hebrews, they don't become much when they remain infants. Infants at best. So let's first put the burden on the elders and pastors in America, Pastor Tom. They are not making disciples in order to make disciples so that those disciples will make disciples and reach to the third and fourth and fifth generations. It's a master plan in order to have generational brothers and sisters in Christ who are teaching others to observe all the things that Jesus has commanded. So instead of a faithful generation of disciples today who observe Jesus' commandments, we now have a generation of so-called disciples who think they actually are Christians who hardly ever observe and obey Jesus' commands. Our churches are filled with people who have never been taught to observe the commands of Jesus, and that Jesus actually expects them to obey Him. And these people are deceived, and they think that they're okay with God. People who never or hardly ever give any attention to observing Jesus' commands, and they think that they're okay with God. But once men, women, and children actually do come to saving faith in Jesus and are baptized as a symbolic demonstration of their new life in Christ and their public allegiance to Jesus and loyalty to Jesus, what is commanded next? Look right there in verse 20. What is commanded next? Jesus says that they are to be taught to observe all that Jesus commanded them. So every disciple of Jesus eventually becomes one who teaches other disciples to observe all that Jesus commands them. So this not only falls on elders and pastors and leaders of the church, but it also falls on you, the church. You are disciples of Jesus. This command transcends the disciples that Jesus is speaking to the church today. We are disciples of Jesus, and this command is given to us. And many of you have looked at this command, and you have thought over the years that it's an option. It's an option for you. And we'll get to this in a little while, but this is the last thing that Jesus says before He goes back to the throne of grace to be with the Father. How important do you think it is? So what does teaching mean here? What does teaching mean here? Well, the word teaching means to impart instruction to another. It means to impart instruction to another. This is what Jesus is after here in the life of every disciple or follower of Him. We are to impart instruction. Notice it's not just simply transferring or communicating commands, but imparting instruction. The word teaching is in the present tense, so it's something that goes on for a long time. It goes on for a time. It's more than just one class, right? It's more than just one class sitting. Class is always in session. Jesus spent 3+ years with these 12 men, excluding Judas now. Well, you guys weren't with us. We're in John. We've been going through the Gospel of John. Judas just left the house to go do what Jesus commanded him to do quickly. So that's our context. I'm sorry if you're not with New Life Church. Judas has left the gathering. He has been cut off, and he'll be cut off permanently in just a few days. But Jesus spent 3+ years with these men, teaching them, imparting himself to them. So to be teaching someone in this regard is simply overflow, right? It's overflow. It is an overflow of what you are already doing in your life. You see, because as a disciple of Jesus, you are submitting yourself to His commands, right? So when you are teaching others to observe the commands of Jesus, you're just doing as an overflow of what you're already doing in your life to them. Make sense? So we see that this observing the commands of Jesus and teaching them, it spills over. It spills over in other disciples' life where you are teaching them to observe all that Jesus commanded us. How many of you know that we do this all the time with our children? Amen? Or oh me, some of you? We do this with those who ask us for personal advice. Usually when dealing with our children, it's an overflow of something that we have already experienced in our life or that our parents have instructed us in how to live life, right? It's an overflow of instruction to them. It's an overflow kind of teaching. You are imparting yourself to your children in this kind of way. You don't have to go to the local bookstore and read a book on how to teach your children how to follow Jesus, right? You don't do that. You don't go to the local bookstore and teach them how to live in life, how to live out life whenever they're struggling. It's already deep down in you to give them advice, right? How many of you have given them advice today? You better say amen. Amen, right? We have already instructed them today on how to live, on how to think, how to do school. All of these things, it's an overflow. You don't have to go and study how to teach your children things that you've already experienced in the way that you're already living. So because of this command from Jesus, every disciple at some point in their life becomes a teacher in this regard, where they begin to impart themselves to another disciple by teaching them to observe all that Jesus commanded them. But sadly, perhaps the opposite is true as well. People who do not impart themselves to another by teaching them to observe all that Jesus commanded them, perhaps may not even have anything to impart because they are not observant disciples themselves. They may not be observing all that Jesus commanded them to do. So why don't most people who call themselves disciples actually disciple others? There may not be anything in the well to pour out. They may not be submitting their own lives to the allegiance of Christ. So why do we not see reproductive teachings of observing the commands of Jesus? Why don't we see that? Because we may have very few people who are actually observing and obeying the commands of Jesus themselves. So you've heard it said many times, I'm sure. Either you should be discipling someone or someone should be discipling you. We'll allow for some gap time there. will show grace. There comes a point in every disciple's life where they go from only being taught to actually teaching and imparting themselves into others by teaching them to observe all the things that Jesus commanded. It's really that simple. It's really that simple of options. And just to add one more thing to this, what's the goal of teaching them to observe all that Jesus commanded? What's the goal? What's the goal of teaching anyway? I think the Apostle Paul says it best when he writes to the Colossians in Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. Listen to what he says here. He says to them, "We proclaim Jesus, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ." He goes on to say, "For this purpose also I labor and strive according to the power that works mightily within me." Why does he teach? Why do we teach? Why is this command given by Jesus to his disciples by teaching them to observe all the things that I've commanded you? Why is there a teaching ministry like this? So that we can show these people to Jesus one day and that they can be complete in Christ. Paul says it very similar in Ephesians chapter 4 where he talks about that he has given some to the church as apostles, prophets, evangelists, and what? Pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry so that we all may attain to the unity of the faith. We teach. We teach all the things that Jesus has taught us. We teach these things to our disciples so that one day we can present them complete in Christ to Him. Every teaching ministry, every discipleship ministry in relationship ought to have this as their aim. It ought to be the aim for why you disciple a younger brother. It ought to be the aim of why you disciple a younger sister in Christ. That they one day might be complete in Christ. This is how Christ builds His church and makes the church strong in Christ. Okay, so we understand Jesus and His command to the disciples that they are to be teaching. And we understand that this teaching is not just a transfer of commands, is it? It's not like, hey, look at the Ten Commandments on the wall here. Now go obey them. It's not that kind of teaching. It's an imparting of your life. Whenever you talk about the instructions and the commands of Jesus, they see it demonstrated in your life. And the reason why there's a lack of disciple making is because there's no demonstration in the church. There's no demonstration. And guess what? When there's no demonstration, once again, it's these people who think that they're okay with Christ. They think that they're going to be okay on Judgment Day, on examination day, when they face Christ at the end of their life. They think that they're okay. They've been deceived. And it's the Word of God from Christ Himself that opens our eyes to the truth of this. But what are we to be teaching them? What are we to be teaching them? Look at verse 20 again, if you will. Teaching them to observe. Teaching them to observe. Can I tell you what Jesus is not after first? Can I tell you what Jesus is not after? Jesus is not after stoic, dead, lifeless obedience. This is not what He's after. You see, in New Life Church, we say this a lot. Words have meaning. Eli Church? Words have meaning. And the word that Jesus uses here to observe has a meaning. It has good instruction for us. Listen to this. The word observe means to obey, but to obey with the motivation of love. Just like Pastor Tom was instructing us last night. It's to obey with the motivation of love. It's not just simply a ministry of teaching people the commands of Jesus and then telling them to obey them. That makes for a lousy dad too, doesn't it? You're going to obey me because I said for you to obey. Who in the world wants to obey that? You don't. And many of you probably didn't. It's not simply just a ministry of teaching people the commands of Jesus and then telling them to obey. It's much deeper and much more affectionate than this. To observe Jesus' commands is to obey them because you love Him. You love Him. It is an observation of the commands where you carefully look into them. You carefully study them. You diligently and carefully figure out how your life needs to match up with His commands. This is what you do when you observe His commands. Now, there are places where Jesus says, obey. But it's important that we see that He also says, observe. And the way that we observe His commands is we treat them like they're precious to us. We carefully hold them. We carefully obey them. Why? Because we love the one who's instructing and commanding us. It's a very important word here in verse 20. And so when Jesus commands us, because we are observing the commands, we are carefully looking at them. We are carefully holding fast to them. We are carefully treating them, right? Because we're carefully doing these things, when Jesus says a command to us or gives a command to us, we treat it as if, man, how in the world am I going to match my life up with what He's instructing me? How does my life need to match that? Because that is what a disciple is. A disciple literally, I would say literally, takes a pen and a piece of paper and he asks Jesus, Jesus, how do you want me to love my wife? I'm listening. Speak into my ear through your word, right? Not audibly. Don't want to go down that road. You know, we got elders here. I'm not saying that. But man, you're really like looking carefully. You're trying to observe what He's commanding. Like, Jesus, how do you want me to love that neighbor that's just so difficult to love? How do you want me to love my wife that at times is very difficult to love? How do you want me to love my husband? How do you want me to love my children? How do you want me to train them? Because see, that's what a disciple of Jesus does. He's asking Him, how do I need to form and fashion and conform my life to what You have commanded? You see the difference in just obeying and actually observing? It's important that He gives us this word right here. And we see the difference in just stoic, dead, lifeless obedience. Which is really no obedience at all, right? Not according to the Scriptures. To observe Jesus' commands is to obey them because you love Him. It is an observation of the commands where you are carefully looking into them that you might change and conform your life accordingly. Who's doing that? Do we see that today in today's church? Do we really see people observing the commands of Jesus? You see, going back, this is why the teaching command is so significant. Because you're not just teaching the commands, but you're teaching them to observe. Right? It's like with our children. We're not just giving them commands. We're not just teaching them. But we're shepherding their hearts, right? We're shepherding them. You know, one of the things that we do with our children is we teach them that when you disobey mom or you disobey dad, it's not that you're just going to get corrected and disciplined for doing that, but you need to know that that breaks our hearts. It burdens us when you disobey. That's why just a few nights ago, when my oldest son, who's not here by the way, he disobeyed me. And I get a text, which I'm trying to deal with the 21st century here. I get a text saying, "Dad, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I disobeyed you." Now, I want that personal moment. But I know that Stephanie and I have done our best to shepherd their hearts. I want them to know that when they disobey a command, that they're not observing what we have said, right? There's been many a times where they are just simply obeying, cleaning the kitchen. And you can see it on their faces that they are obeying, but they are not obeying and observing the command. The word observe here in Matthew 28:20, it's the same word in the Greek that Jesus uses in John chapter 14, verse 15, when Jesus says to his disciples, "If you love me, you will" what? Say it. Keep my commandments. Hopefully you got that. You will keep my commandments. The word observe and the word keep is the same word in the Greek. And so when we were going through John chapter 14, I used this illustration with our church. When I was growing up, my mom used to watch other people's children. And I just used the word watch. But what they would do is sometimes when they would call, they would ask my mom if she could keep their kids. We don't use that word anymore, do we? We ask now, "Man, can you watch my kids? You know, can they just come over to your house and I can just leave them there while I go run errands or something?" But this word keep means to watch over it carefully, to pay special attention to it, right? And there's a reason why Jesus is using this word and not just simply obey. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. He says that elsewhere. But right here, he's saying, if you love me, if, he's not assuming anything, if you love me, you will keep. You will treasure. You will observe. You will carefully look over my commandments. And so we've been studying this in the Gospel of John, and we just finished chapter 14. And that was really an eye-opener, even for me, as I was in my study and working through this together with our church. And we don't want just stoic, deadless, lifeless obedience. That's not what Jesus is after, I don't think, right? I think he wants that affection. He wants that love. And so this word keep and this word observe, it means to take special care of and to attend to carefully. You see, this is what we do, and this is what you do when you love Jesus. You take special care of his commands. You treat them as worthy of your life's attention, right? Like you make decisions based upon his commands and not just what you want. Right? We got Zach here tonight. Don't mean to embarrass you again, brother. But a year ago, he was really trying to discern whether or not God was leading him to the panhandle of Texas, a good little drive. And man, what he did was absolutely awesome. And brother, you'll have to take this and just give the glory to Christ again. But he submitted himself to the elders and to the church and said, "Listen, I want to make sure that I'm making a righteous decision. I don't want to go. I want to go, but I don't want to go if God doesn't want me to go." And how many people actually do that today? You know, I loved what you were saying about the community of Christ and how we submit ourselves to one another in all of these ways. When's the last time you made a family decision with your church? When's the last time you made a life-altering decision on where you're going to live and where you're going to work and what kind of jobs you're going to do and all this other stuff? And you ask the church not just to pray for you, but to see if God gives you an answer to their issue. And that's what Zach did. And brother, I want you to know that blessed me and Pastor Mike like you would not believe, and the rest of our congregation, because we saw his willingness to submit his desires to the authority of the church and also to one another. And I'm glad he's still with us. I'm glad you didn't go. We desperately need disciples teaching men, women, and children to observe Jesus' commands in this kind of way. Far too many professing believers do not observe Jesus' commands, much less obey them, even out of stoic, lifeless obedience. We need, watch this, we need observers, don't we? We need keepers of the commands of Christ. We need men, women, and children who love Jesus and treat His commands as worthy of their life's aim and attention. We need observers and keepers like this. But I have to demonstrate that with my own life. It's one thing to get up here and preach the truth to you, right? It's another thing to transparently live that before you. This is what Jesus wants His disciples to be teaching. He doesn't simply just want them teaching commands that He gave them. He wants them to teach them to observe. There's an ability here that we are to transfer to disciples of Christ. We are to equip them to observe the commandments, to love Jesus, and to love these commands that He's given us. Not just simply, here's the list, go obey. And that's kind of what the church is today. I don't even know if the church does that, really, that much in America. Here's the list of commands, go obey them. We just sort of hide the commands behind our activities. Jesus wants them to be teaching, to impart from their own life this sense of awe and wonder and love for His commands. Because we know that those who have been captivated, those who have been compelled, those who have been constrained by the love of Christ no longer live for themselves, but they live for Him who died for them and rose again on His behalf, on our behalf. See, that's where the motivation ought to be. When you see somebody who is living as a Christian, and no matter what they receive, persecution or praise, we no longer live for ourselves, but for Him who died and rose again. What motivates a person to no longer live for themselves? Being captivated, constrained, compelled by the love of Christ. That's why it's a matter of love here with the commands and not just simply obedience. To observe Jesus' commands is much deeper and much more affectionate than mere obedience. It has to do with loving Him and loving His commands. He said to His own disciples who He had been with for 3 years, "If you love Me, you will," emphasis on actually doing it, "you will keep My commandments." So what's the motivation to observe and to obey Jesus' commands again? Love. Love is always going to be the motivation, the biblical motivation and the righteous motivation for anything that we do for Christ. Love is always going to be the righteous answer. This is why the Apostle John would later write in his first epistle, 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. He says to the same church that he's writing to the Gospel of John, which is the church at Ephesus, "For this is love for God, that we" what? keep His commandments. And His commandments are not what? Burdensome. You want to know why the commandments of Jesus are not burdensome? Because we love God. Disciples who love God do not find God's commands a burden. They observe them and they keep them. So if supposedly mature disciples are not teaching younger disciples to observe, to care for, to treasure, to pay close attention to all the commands that Jesus commanded, then perhaps it is either due to total ignorance or due to a lack of love for Jesus themselves. I lean toward the latter. You know why I lean toward the latter? Why are supposedly mature disciples not discipling others and teaching disciples to observe in this kind of way? Why are they not doing that? I think it has to do with love and a lack of love for Jesus, not necessarily ignorance. You know why I believe this? Can I be transparent with you tonight? Can Pastor Keith just open up his heart to you? Most of you know that I'm from Louisiana. I never had to learn how to teach my boys how to love the LSU Tigers. I never had to go to the campus of LSU, to their campus bookstore, and purchase a book on how to teach my children, my boys, how to love the LSU Tigers. I never had to do that, did I? But somehow or another, every Saturday in fall, what do they want to do? They want to watch the LSU Tigers. And not just watch, but they want to observe. They want to observe the Tigers. Now, we can debate Saturday night on whether or not that's a healthy love that I've transferred to my children. But I want you to know that I never had to learn how to teach them to love the Tigers. You know why? Because it's already deep down in my heart. I was raised to love the Tigers. The real Tigers, by the way. Not blue Tigers. That doesn't make any sense to me. Anyway, I digress. I apologize. What I'm saying to you is, you don't have to learn how to teach something that you already love. And that's what Jesus is saying, that you and I as disciples of Jesus ought to be teaching these disciples who have given over their lives in allegiance to Christ. We are to teach them to love and obey and adhere these commands of Jesus, because it's an overflow of our lives to them. So the question now is, are you teaching like this? Are you teaching like this? Do you observe Jesus' commands like this? Are you reproducing disciples who observe and teach like this? Lastly, for full instruction, what has Jesus commanded them to observe? We finally get there to the end here of verse 20. What does he command to teach and to observe? He says in verse 20, look again, all that I commanded you. Now you need to know I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the commands of Jesus, because he commanded a lot already of the disciples. But it is the commands that he has told them all throughout the gospel books. It is everything that the Holy Spirit, when he comes to indwell them, will teach them and remind them of what Jesus said to them. It is all the commands that will transcend his disciples to the church those disciples that will become the body of Christ very soon. It is the commands through the Holy Spirit inspired apostles like John and Paul and James and Jude and Peter and what they command and instruct the churches to do in the New Testament. All of these commands should be observed, should be treasured, carefully looked over. This is what we are to be about. We should treat them as precious and worthy of our lives. And so I want to ask you, are you making disciples like this after Jesus? It's not a matter of are you just simply instructing people to go do something, but are you imparting yourself to that younger brother in Christ to observe the commands of Jesus? Are you imparting yourself to that younger sister in Christ intentionally to observe all that Jesus commanded? We are to do this in Jesus' authority. Perhaps you don't do this. Perhaps you don't, nor have you ever made a disciple, because you are truly not one yourself. You cannot live year after year after year disobeying Jesus and say that you're a disciple of Jesus. You just can't. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will what? Keep my commandments." It's not a matter of your feelings or your experiences on whether or not you are a true disciple of Jesus or not. It is a matter of what Jesus taught you and taught us and what He said. And He teaches that those who love Him obey Him, period. And the last thing that Jesus commanded in His life on earth was this right here. If you would consider Matthew 28 just one more time. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." You see, the question isn't necessarily, are you obeying Jesus? We see examples of that in the Gospels of people who obeyed, right? And were not disciples. The question is, that I ask, is do you love Jesus? Do you love Him? Because Jesus says, for those that love Him, you will keep His commandments. And one command that you joyfully get to keep and observe is teaching them to observe all the things that Jesus commanded. Amen? Let's pray.